ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 ॐ नमो भगवते
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 20, Text 12. Bhinnasya
Bhinnasya
Lingasya
Lingasya
Guno Praho Dravya Kriya
Dravya Kriya
Karaka
Chetanatmanaha
Drishtashu
Sampatsu
Vipatsu
Surayo
Na Vikriyante
Mai
Baddha
Shohida
Vinyasya Lingasya Guno Pravaho Vinyasya lingasya guno pravaho
Vinyasya lingasya guno pravaho
Dravya kriya karaka chetma chetanatma naha
Dravya kriya karaka chetma
Dravya kriya karaka chetanatma naha
Dravya kriya karaka chetma
Drishtashu sampatsu vipatsu surayo
Drishtashu sampatsu
Drishtashu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Na vikriyante mai baddha sohridaha
Na vikriyante mai baddha
sohridaha Vinyasya lingasya guno pravaho Dravya kriya karaka chetanatmanaha Drishtashu sampatsu vipatsu surayo Na vikriyante mai baddha sohridaha Vinyasya
Different.
Lingasya.
Lingasya.
Of the body.
Guna.
Of the three modes of material nature.
Nature.
Pravaha.
The constant change.
Dravya.
Physical element.
Kriya.
Kriya.
Activities of the senses.
Karaka.
Demigods.
Chetana.
And the mind. Atmana.
Consisting of.
Drishtashu.
When experienced.
Sampatsu. Happiness.
Vipatsu.
Distress.
Surayaha.
Those who are advanced in knowledge.
Na.
Never.
Vikriyante.
Become disturbed.
Mai.
Unto me.
Baddha
sohrida.
Bound in friendship.
Translation brought by the Divine Grace. Lord Vishnu told King Prithu, My dear king, the constant change of this material world is due to the interactions of the three modes of material nature. Five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, which is agitated by the spirit soul. All these taken together comprise the body. Since the spirit soul is completely different from this combination of gross and subtle material elements, my devotee who is connected with me in intense friendship and affection, being completely in knowledge, is never agitated by material happiness and distress. Repeat, please. Lord Vishnu told King Prithu.
Lord Vishnu told King Prithu. My dear King,
the constant change of this material world
is due to the interaction of the three modes of material nature.
The five elements,
the senses,
the demigods,
who control the senses,
as well as the mind,
which is agitated by the spirit soul.
All this taken together,
comprise the body.
Since the spirit soul
is completely different from this combination.
Of gross and subtle material elements.
My devotee,
who is connected
with me,
in intense friendship and affection,
being completely in knowledge,
is never agitated
by material happiness and distress.
The question may be raised. That if the living entity has to act as the superintendent of the activities of the bodily combination, then how can he be indifferent to the activities of the body? The answer is given here. These activities are completely different from the activities of the spirit soul of the living entity. A crude example can be given in this connection. A businessman riding in a motor car sits in the car, supervises its running, and advises the driver. He knows how much gasoline is used up, and he knows everything about the car, but still, he is apart from the car and is more concerned with his business. Even while riding in the car, he thinks of his business and his office. He has no connection with the car, although he is sitting there. As a businessman is always absorbed in thoughts of his business, so the living entity can be absorbed in thoughts of rendering loving service to the Lord. Then it will be possible to remain separate from the activities of the material body. This position of neutrality can be possible only for a devotee. The word baddha sauhrida, bound in friendship, is particularly used here. Karmis, gyanis, and yogis cannot be bound in devotional service. Karmis fully engaged in the activities of the body. Their aim of life is to give comfort to the body only. Gyanis try to get out of entanglement of philosophical speculation, but they have no standing in the liberated position. Because they do not take shelter under the lotus feet of the Lord, they fall down from the exalted position of Brahman realization. Yogis also have a bodily concept of life. They think they can achieve something spiritual by exercising the body through dharana, asana, pranayama, etc. A devotee's position is always transcendental because of his intimate relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, to remain always aloof from the actions and reactions of the body and engage in one's real occupation, namely rendering service to the Lord, can be possible only for devotees. Hare Krishna. So this is a very nice description of how the devotees actually spoken here by Lord Vishnu himself, that and as well as Krishna himself speaks in the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago, and this is spoken by Lord Vishnu many, many years ago in Bhagavatam. So Krishna is speaking either times that the process of pure devotional service is the highest process for jnanis and yogis and karmis. Basically, they are engaged in the bodily conception of life. Whatever it is, jnana, yoga, Prabhupada mentioned in the second purport of this verse. And the jnani, yogis, as yogis particularly,
they may do asana and pranayama, you know, very popular today in the world where people do meditation and yoga asana. Asana means, you know, exercises. But they don't actually understand the purpose of yoga. The real purpose of yoga actually means devotional service, which is properly explained in this purport at the end. To perform devotional service is to be able to connect with Krishna, service to Krishna, Bhagavan Krishna, Supreme Personality of the Godhead. Anything else, it's not devotional service. They may call it meditation or some yoga, but and I study yoga. Yoga means to connect. You know, they may say connect means with the body, mind, and soul. They can't explain more than that. So you ask them, what is yoga? Can you explain? They say, oh yeah, I was living in China, and people say, you know, Chinese, they understand yoga means, oh yeah, yeah, body, mind, and soul. And you ask them, what is mind? What is body in connection with the soul and the mind? And then explain more. They can. They just say, oh, your body, mind, and soul. But actually, only, what Prabhupada explains here, that only a devotee can actually understand all these things clearly. A clear to a devotee is that he knows what is devotional service, because devotional service is the highest of all. Everything is in it. When you perform devotional service, you've done everything. Now stretching. Asana. What does asana mean? This asana I'm sitting on. You're all sitting on asana. So people do asana, exercise. You know, people explain when you do asanas, they work hard to stretch their body. So when you sit in asana, it means you want to be more comfortable. That's why you choose a good asana. Instead of people come to your home and you offer them a seat, right? You don't give a seat that's not comfortable. So into asana means when you do exercises that are soothing and very comfortable, you're not hurting yourself. You're killing yourself. That's asana. That's not asana. So meditation means, asana means when people can feel comfortable in themselves. They feel relaxed. When we say relax, what is going on with this thing? Keep coming down. So I like that guy the other day. He says, I don't need a microphone. Even during Srila Prabhupada time, they had to muck around with microphone. So, meditation and asana, you know, people don't have the idea what it is. Relaxation. You ask people to relax. They're moving around like a monkey. You ask them to relax. Just like I'm speaking to you, you may be thinking of something else, you're turning around, and as if like a monkey behind you. Like, yeah, right. So people are not be able to relax. And they want to practice yoga. Just now, I was called to a yoga center to do yoga training, just a couple of class for someone else. And they had a lot of people there, not our yoga place. And they were all very serious. And I asked them how long they've been doing yoga. And they said, oh, 5 years, 6 years. And half of them couldn't even sit in the lotus. The basic first principle of yoga is to be able to sit in the lotus. They have fat thighs. Couldn't put the other leg on top of the other one. They couldn't twist. And they, oh yeah, I do yoga for 5 years. In India, if you want to be qualified to be a yoga teacher, you need to at least be able to sit in the lotus and do a headstand. And they couldn't do any of that. So Bhakti yoga is beyond all these things. They don't need to put their head, their leg behind and bring it from the side to the front. You can. I mean, you gave in the temple, and everyone's standing on the head behind, your leg behind. Who's going to come here? Krishna consciousness is the most practical. Devotional service is the most practical. Because Krishna himself spoke the Bhagavad Gita 5,000 years ago. And he didn't say to do this asana and all this meditation and yoga thing. Process of meditation is to astanga, is to be able to reach the top of the tree. When you reach the top of the tree, you look down on everything else because you're on the top of the tree and you're looking down. Oh. So you reach the highest platform. Astanga, the step by step. And the first principle of the yoga is yama and niyama, sense control. They don't think about that. They don't talk about sense control. They go straight to the third one. Yama, niyama, asana, pranayama, pratyahara, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. They don't talk about these things. They just go to asana. I want to be slim. I want to look slim. So that's why I'm practicing yoga. They don't have any idea of sense control. And then straight to the park afterward. If I speak Bhagavad here, and afterward I go and light a cigarette, this professional Bhagavatam. There's people speaking Krishna consciousness, Bhagavatam, in university, but they don't have any change in their life. Afterward, after finishing speaking Bhagavatam, they light a cigarette. Oh yeah, and it's done. Time for lunch. Yeah. So, Krishna consciousness, devotional service, it means purity. We should be able to change our heart, to be able to develop the taste for sanity. Years and years, we can be reading these things, but we could be just goofing around here for so many years. We have to actually develop the taste for Krishna, taste for chanting Hare Krishna. So that's devotional service here explains. Krishna himself explaining, Lord Vishnu is telling to Pitu Maharaj, the process of devotional service. Like I was just in China, and we did the way to bring people to Krishna consciousness through yoga centers. We have a lot of yoga places, and then the people come and we tell them all about Krishna, a little bit of asana, and they say, how can I lose weight through chanting? Because we're telling them about Krishna consciousness, so they don't understand that actually we're not here to lose weight, because the soul is not fat or skinny, So we tell them about Krishna consciousness. They understand. So gradually we tell them. We do some asana and like for half an hour and 1 hour kirtan, and tell them and feed them up pusharam. So all the devotees that came from yoga in the beginning, they all know this yoga is just nonsense. This bhakti yoga is the real thing. Krishna consciousness is the real thing. If you breathe through one nose, breathe through the other nose. Oh, we're breathing anyway. Even if if you're supposed to live for 100 years, you might live for one more minute through yoga, or 5 minutes. Just extra time, because you control your breathing. What's the meaning of all this? If we have love for Krishna, develop faith for Krishna, if we can chant Hare Krishna, sadhu sangha, associate devotees, these things has meaning. And if you sit here in the Bhagavatam class and you're scratching your back and turning around and looking around, how are you relaxing? We're talking about relaxation. So maybe some exercise we do so we can have a healthy body so we can serve Krishna. That's all. The idea behind exercises so we can have good body so we can serve Krishna. The purpose is to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada himself, he went morning walk every day for hours, and massage every day for hours and hours. So we can do exercise. The point of anything we do, we have to somehow connect with Krishna. Not nonsense things. Things that are favorable to Krishna. So when you come to, I remember one man in Sydney, he used to come to the temple, he would be tears from his eyes when he's praying. He is not chanting japa in the temple every day with us, but he was so much love. He was tears. And he was like very front of the deity, so we couldn't see him nicely. So I used to go close and look at his face. He was crying. I was thinking, I'm chanting for so many years, how come I don't have tears? And this guy's not here without chanting, without, but he's just tears coming down his on his shirt. I don't know what he was praying, but he was so deep. Whatever it is, if you can come to Krishna, even from material things, you have so much love for Krishna, you cry to Krishna, that's a good sign. Even if you want material things, it doesn't matter. So devotional service is not a cheap thing. If I came here for years and years, I've been around since 1970s. And now, so many years later, if I still sit here, it'd be part of halava. What people can think of me? Years and years. Of course, if I eat that much, I'll be dead. You know, because I know how much sweet sugar and butter I put in. You don't understand. But I put in, I'm in the kitchen. I say, oh, it's so wonderful. You know, instead of tears, the butter's coming down. They love it so much. Actually, that recipe came from Prabhupada. You know, I had halwa in India. It's just water, and because it's poor man's halwa. You come to Hare Krishna temples, like, shh. That's why people have become devotees. In Mayapur, I remember when I first came, I can still remember, you know, the taste of the prasadam that they cooked. It's in there somewhere. The Prabhupada was very cheeky to keep people devotees, make devotees. So the idea is to not just eat prasadam, but to understand, you know, this is sanctified prasadam. So Srila Prabhupada was expert at making. He is the yoginam api sarve. Sam Krishna says the highest of all the yogis is my devotee. Srila Prabhupada is the example of that, that devotee. Prabhupada was so pure. When you look at him, even if you're little kids like these guys, he loved Prabhupada so much. Because he didn't preach to you so much, he just gave you prasadam. And I had laddu, coconut laddu. You know, people always talk about laddu. Oh yeah, yeah. This laddu, that laddu. Prabhupada had laddus that if he gave you, you would forget any other sweets. And I had one piece, ate that piece, and got out of the back and came for another one. We eat, Prabhupada give more, many times. So, that's the mercy of a pure devotee. He didn't tell me about philosophy so much. So by taking mercy from a blessing of a sadhu, blessing of a great devotee, mercy of a pure devotee, this makes up Krishna consciousness. So, different processes, karmis, gyanis, yogis. Okay, karmis, they have no idea about anything. This is why we can give them Krishna consciousness so easily, because they are very simple. But in Western countries, you know, Srila Prabhupada went to Western country and made so many people devotees because Westerners were frustrated with all the wealth they had, all the material things. Where in India, we are looking for what the Westerners have. That was Prabhupada's idea, to bring the foreigners to India. So when they saw the white people chanting Hare Krishna, and you know, what are we doing? This is our culture and they're taking up. That was his idea. This is how Hare Krishna movement started. So taste for Krishna consciousness is not for different colors of people. We have to simply accept that, and by performing, executing devotional service, we will understand, automatically we will understand what is Krishna consciousness. Jiva, you know, jiva tongue, through the vibration of the tongue is to sing and talk, vibrate and taste. The working senses, in the tongue is one of them. So by engaging the tongue, talking about Krishna, singing the glories of Krishna, singing, chanting Hare Krishna, and tasting prasadam. Simply doing these two things, we become purified. And everyone here is good at that. We're all good at taking prasadam. This is why on Sunday you see so many devotees. Maybe prasadam time will be more than the temple. Yeah. If you were in the 1970s, if you didn't come to the program, they will stop you from eating because they take attendance. Who is coming to temple, who is not? You couldn't just walk in to the prasadam room and help yourself. I've seen how everyone's so liberal here, and even when serving, there's no service, everybody's helping themselves. So that's so merciful, this temple is. But if you were in the 70s, you know, you couldn't just walk in and help yourself. You had to be attending the program. And I remember in the 80s, we're in Sydney Temple in the 80s, and people would call up, they call up in the early in the afternoon, what time is the food? What time is the food? They said, I used to tell them, the food starts at 4:30 with the chanting. And they would come exactly what Pucharam time is. And then, so we started, we changed the tactics. So anyone came late, $4 or $5 for coming in. So then everyone was coming on time for the program. So, and Srila Prabhupada in the beginning days, he didn't tell anyone about the four principles. He was just giving them pure Krishna consciousness, Pusharam and chanting, and slowly he started to put down the principle. No illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication, because they're all drug addicts. I heard they were putting drugs in the halwa. Stuff like that. And we don't put drugs in the halwa here, but it tastes so good. But if you don't have the real taste, you're looking for sense gratification in a lower taste. Prabhupada was giving us the higher taste, the highest taste. That's why people they stay here. You know, we make this gulab jamun sweets, the wrong gulab jamun. You have it in an Indian shop, gulab jamun. They even import it from India, and it doesn't taste that good. You eat one, you'll feel sick, because it's so much sweet. And we can make it here, you can eat 10. It's not so sweet, but it's very tasty. The recipe came from Prabhupada, even though it's from India. So everything we do here in Krishna consciousness is coming from Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is the founder, and he did what Krishna did. Prabhupada is in connection with Krishna. So if we follow the principle Prabhupada gave us, we're in connection with Krishna. We're not making anything out. So this bhakti yoga, the bhakti yoga process of devotional service is done with devotion. Bhakti, love. People talk about love, they don't have an idea what is love. Love means, actually, real love is only for Krishna, nobody else. Because they don't understand what is real love. Bhakti. Bhakti is translated to be not love, it's higher than that. Devotion. You don't call someone that you love, oh, with devotion. They don't say it. Because it's higher than love. That's only for Krishna. Bhakti. Oh, I have so much bhakti for you. We don't say that. But for Krishna. Because bhakti, love, pure devotion, is translated to be not love. So when we have to be practical to explain to people, but love, devotion, is for Krishna. Prabhupada used to say in Mayapur, in the early days, they had lots of flowers everywhere inside the road. And they write, Krishna flower, Krishna flower, full tulbenna. Do not pick Krishna's flowers. Because people always, like young guys, they pick up Krishna's flower and give to their friend, girlfriends. But it's for Krishna. So they had to write that everywhere. So, everything we see is for Krishna's pleasure. When you see a beautiful flower, you should be thinking, how I can offer that to Krishna. I'm a good cook. Volunteer yourself. Okay, let me cook for Krishna. Or you cook at home for your family. So why not you cook for Krishna? I'm not Brahmana. Then get yourself Brahmana. And cook for Krishna. How long are you here in this material world? This material world is a place of misery. We're not going to be here forever. Come back here in 50 years. You know, I won't be here. You're already 50, some of you, 30, 40, 50. Another 50 years, you're not here. While we are here, we are really lucky, fortunate, because we have this short time. In this short time, we can become pure and serve Krishna nicely in any way we like. Sing and dance, cook for Krishna. This is devotional service. Very practical. Srila Prabhupada didn't ask anyone to just sit in a meditation. I go to the Himalayas, a mountain. Close your eyes and sit. I know one guy here, comes here. Last time I was here, he was sitting here, closed eyes. We don't do that. We singing and dancing and chanting. Loudly. So chanting Hare Krishna is a process of clarification of our heart, purifying the heart. Cheta darpana marjanam, bhava maha dalagini nirvapanam. Our heart is full of dirt. For a lifetime, full of dirt. So the way to clean the heart is through chanting Hare Krishna, is through performing devotional service. So the senses, our senses, material body, is dominating us. Our mind is dominating us. Mind is always giving us trouble. Kya karega? You're pulling your hair out. Mind giving so much trouble. Just today, a devotee called me from Taiwan. Her husband, non-devotee, she was devotee. Her husband broke the altar at home and stuff like that. And so she was crying and she wanted to suicide. So that's my advice. I said, first of all, whatever happened, don't kill yourself. You may be thinking of that. Whatever happened, first thing, you don't kill yourself, because the body doesn't belong to you. And if the guy is giving too much trouble, call the police. Because it's not in our hands. We couldn't advise because it's a family problem. And I told them, you know, and pray to Krishna deeply from the heart for protection. And be very, very sincere what you do. Krishna will protect her, for sure. So, and other things. So, you know, we're living in a very difficult world, difficult times in this world. Every day of our life is not as we expect it to be. It's ghastly, becomes very troublesome. Wake up, only devotee thinking is wonderful, because it is. We wake up in the morning, oh yeah, Hare Krishna, Hare Bol, and it's ecstatic day, every day. And people, I'm sure all of you, you're extremely happy to come to temple on the weekend, because it's so ecstatic here, so many of you, and every day. If you don't have spiritual knowledge, you are not devotee. You wake up in the morning, another day, you're just so unhappy with yourself. Monday, see, you know, I travel in the train. I came in the morning in a taxi because I was in a hurry, and it was an Indian driver. I said, Hare Krishna. I said, what's that? I said, where are you from? He said, Pakistan. I said, be careful. And I told him, you know, and then I said, is a nice place, Pakistan? He said, nah, full of corruption. And I said, same in India. I said, you go to India or Pakistan, all the same, because land is the same. He said, it's all in your mind. And I was preaching to him. I said, well, I'm going to Hare Krishna temple. I'm chanting Japa. I said, this is Hare Krishna. You know, you see, you work so hard, you walk early in the morning, driving taxi. You know, his life is not easy. I'm going to the temple to chant Japa and chant Hare Krishna. It's so blissful. And then he drove in here and he said, that's the... And I saw all the devotees walking around and dhotis. Oh, wow. And they look like Pakistanis, but devotees. So he was thinking, oh, that's nice. He looked really miserable. And so, you know, the material world is a place of misery, Krishna says. We think, oh, my wonderful family, my children, and my husband and wife is... In the temple, you're all very excited. And you go home and start quarreling, maybe. I'm just saying, maybe not. Could be. So, you know, it's always not honey, honey, honey. It's material world. Krishna himself says it. But we all think, oh, we're going to live here forever. Like these kids, they never think, I'm going to be 50 one day. They're thinking, oh, it's just all we have, all the time we need. We enjoy forever. Ha, ha, ha. Time flying. I was your age one time. Oh, what happened? Time's gone. Every moment is precious. You know, we all enjoy Krishna consciousness. You would be, you know, 1 kg of khichdi, breakfast, and salad and puri, like this, you know. You know, big plate like this, like a, you can sit on it, so big plate, you know. And then Krishna consciousness is very blissful. We don't think of the miseries. There's no misery here. Prabhupada said, Melbourne temple is Vaikuntha. Vaikuntha means spiritual world where there's no anxiety. As soon as you go on Dank Street out there, you're bombarded with all the pains of the material world. Because that's material world, this is not. That's why it's called Sadhu Sangha. We want to be a place where there's no misery. That's, you find that in the temple, where there's devotees talking about Krishna, Krishna Katha. Everywhere I go, people are yappy, yappy, yappy on the phone. They're talking nonsense. Especially the Indian people. They're always on the phone with your parents or whoever you are in India. And the wire is going in your mouth, you're talking. I'm in the train and buses every day. I have to tell them to be quiet sometime. They go on and on and on. The inviting snake. You go to Mayapur in the 70s, not long ago, not now so much. You just walk through the rice fields. And then you hear quack, 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 quack. That's frogs. In rainy season, the frogs, they always quacking. Prabhupada used to give this example, quack, quack, quack. And finally, you hear quack, quack, quack. Stop. The snake got him. Quack, quack, quack. So when you're talking too much, you're inviting death. Especially if you're talking nonsense. Gramya katha, village talk. How's the family? How are you? How's the children? Just on and on. Snake coming. Every air in your mouth, it requires energy to talk. If you didn't talk about Krishna, you're wasting energy. Closing, you are coming closer to death. Inviting death. Quack, 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 quack. Bus. Snake got it. They say in Govardhan Puja, we have Govardhan Puja here. Very elaborate festival. We said it last year. The food's up to your neck. I don't take a Facebook photo. So much prasadam. So they said, if you didn't worship Govardhan Puja, if you didn't come on that day to worship the hill, all the hill of food to Krishna, that the snake on the hill will come and bite you. But I thought, well, there's no snake in Melbourne. But the snake in your heart, the mind, will get you. Your heart, there's material desire. Your lusty desires in your heart, that's demon sitting there. That's like a snake will bite you. Like that. It doesn't mean the snake will come and look for you where you're sleeping in the bedroom somewhere in the dark street. Material desire is a snake. Think in an allegorical way. So bhakti yoga is so wonderful. There's no misery here. There's no suffering. Prabhupada used to say, our Hare Krishna is so wonderful. There's no all happiness. There's no misery here. But you bring misery onto yourself. Like you are in your heart. You keep so many desire, material desire. Like if you're swimming across the river and you carry a big bag of rocks, that's weigh you down. Then you can't swim. Similarly, if you want to be a smooth swimmer without any problem, then just be light. Bag is light. Your bag is your material body. Here is your heart. That's the big bag you carry.
your family, this, that, children, on and on. If this one doesn't give, the other one will give. They keep having so many. This is all expansion of your enjoyment. If you can make everybody Krishna conscious, then it's wonderful. Then it's spiritual. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is the only disciple of Gaur Krishnadas Babaji. He made one disciple so pure, that's Srila Prabhupada. And that one disciple made hundreds of disciples all over the world. ISKCON movement. The Prabhupada used to say, you have one star up there. I mean, millions of stars up there. I mean, we see. I mean, I talk to people, they say, oh, in Melbourne we can see the blue sky and all the stars in the sky. But so what? You have one moon, then it light up the whole sky. I mean, you know, I was brought up in Mayapur. I've seen stars all the time. There's stars, there's blue sky everywhere in Mayapur. Yeah, of course, here nobody talks about pollution. Yeah, he lives in China, there's pollution. People walk with masks. Delhi. So it's a clean place. So one moon, Srila Prabhupada is like the moon. One devotee said, I want to be just like my Prabhupada. I want to be just like Prabhupada. Everybody nearly killed him. He said, what? How offensive you are. You want to be just like Prabhupada. Who do you think you are? Prabhupada said, wait a minute. That's good. If you can be like me, there'll be extra devotional service, extra preaching, more temples, and more book distribution. Because there'll be second Prabhupada. So if we can follow the footsteps of Guru Maharaj, of our spiritual master, not when your Guru Maharaj comes, oh Maharaj, oh yeah. Everybody's running in the kitchen to cook and bring the garlic, everyone's like tripping over and stuff. When Guru goes off, see you, bye bye, next year. Next time the Guru visits. That's why the Guru should come more often, because then you could be here more often. The Guru is here in his instructions. Instruction, Bani Babu. Prabhupada is not here, but his instructions are here. When Prabhupada was here, many of his disciples, proper disciples, they were equal to the new gurus. They couldn't accept them. They just wanted to be Prabhupada. But Prabhupada said, if you love me, then you stay here and accept the hardship. Every day we're in the temple, but the rest of the day you're out there in the material world. So you're not going to be Krishna conscious anymore? Everywhere you have to learn to see Krishna. Krishna's everywhere. In the workplace too. You are with the karmis, but you are not associating with them. You give them your association. You have to be very smart when it comes to serving Krishna. You don't accept, oh, bodhacha. You don't accept them, but you talk with them and relate to them in the heart. My Prabhupada gives the example here. You don't completely associate. Just be shallow. In the heart you are, oh Krishna, I love you so much, I want to be with you. I can't wait to be in the temple and Hare Krishna, you know. You're always thinking of Krishna, but externally you are associating with people. Like a lotus on the water but not touched by it. Krishna is the same. So you see Krishna. Everything Arpilu Tuvapade Nanda Kishore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, whatever I have, my family, everything I offer to your lotus feet, O Krishna. Arpilu Tuvapade Nanda Kishore. Paribar, family, everything. And he said, I don't mind to be a Kita. Kita Janme Prabhu Hai. He said, I don't mind to be a bug in the house of a devotee, a grass in the house of a devotee. If you step on the grass, they go, hey, you! Why are you stepping on me? The grass doesn't protest. They're humble. We expect to be grass, like a grass. People step on us. Thank you, Prabhu. Step on me. And here, everybody's too humble. Everybody steps on each other. They walk by here, each other, they say, Haribol, Haribol, so many times. How are you? How are you? How are you? I'm fine.
It's like Johnny Drop almost. So many times. Like I haven't seen you for like a long time or something. And everyone here, it's nice. But we have to understand the key principle of Krishna consciousness that we are eternal servant of Krishna. We are eternal servant of Prabhupada. We are eternal servant of the Vaishnavas. Everything else is going to be here in this world. In the material world. We are not part of this material world. We are part of the spiritual world. You take fish out of the water, you can give them a cigarette, you can give them a girlfriend, you can give them a TV, a nice everything. They will die. Fish out of the water. They belong to the sea. Surely we are in the wrong place in the material world. We belong in the spiritual world. So Krishna comes in different forms, in different yugas to tell us that. He don't belong here. To tell us a simple thing. No, I love it here. I love it in Melbourne. I love Sydney. I love India. I never say I love for my home country. I go with the flag. We don't belong here. So I was telling this Pakistani guy, the truck taxi driver. I said, you're not Pakistani, I'm not Indian. We're not this body. You die, Pakistan will be there. Still. All your money, savings, will be still in the bank while you're gone. He said, TK, what did I say? What he said is right. I said, you came here hundreds of years ago, Australia was here. You take a piece of the rock and you write, Australia. It was already here, rock is rock. It's all in the mind. He said, you're right. Achabat kya? We come here, we this is ignorance, this is ego. To think I am this, I am that. The first principle of Krishna consciousness is to know, the first realization of a devotee is to know that I am not this body. And everybody here thinks body. How many times of the day you think I'm not this body? If somebody hurts you, I get you back. We're all thinking we are this body. Even though we know the philosophy. Theoretically, we're talking only. We haven't had the realization and understanding. After many, many years, 40 years, we still didn't get it because we're just on the surfing, on the top. We have to dive deep in Krishna consciousness and try to get that taste for chanting, taste for the holy name. It's not a show. It's not a show. You can't maintain a showcase. After a while, your Maya will get you. Come on. Oh, yeah, I love it. I'm going there. I don't want Krishna. That's it. You have tangible desire, deep desire to love Krishna, a taste for serving Krishna, really, in the heart. Like Krishna said, those things are they're nothing. Dear love for Krishna, taste for serving Krishna, that you don't have material, you're not attracted to material things. Material sense gratification in the form of so many things that Maya can offering to us in many ways. This is illusory. Wagging in your face. Get out of my way. I look at Krishna. How beautiful Radha Krishna is. I must try to meditate. Meditation means to be able to meditate on the form of Krishna. Wherever you are. Prabhupada, I remember the early days, if you read Krishna book at night before sleep, we all brahmachari, all sit around together and drinking milk, and they read, somebody would read Krishna book. Prabhupada actually wanted us to do that. And then, so when you can sleep, you dream of Krishna. At home, with the children, family, read a Krishna book. Krishna stories. Telling some book, Kami book, you can read about Krishna. There we have so many books. So Krishna consciousness is such a wonderful process. There's no difficulty here. Yeah. But when you see the negativity, everything has negativity. So when you see the positive, negative, the material side, then there's this problem everywhere. So I see Krishna consciousness the positive way. The blissful side of Krishna consciousness. Like these guys, they go on Harinam every day. I said, not me, because it's too sun, too hot. But once you're actually there, you feel really good, you feel really ecstatic singing. You're not affected by the material world, the weather, or hunger, or thirst. You know, I cook for the Ruchi guys on Harinam, and some of them said, no, we already have the taste for chanting, we don't want this wonderful prasadam. They didn't say it, but, you know, they relish just as much going chanting in the street every day. It's not easy. But you have to have that taste for chanting. Hey, we can do nice kirtan in the temple and, you know, showcase. When you go out in the street, it's a different thing. It's preaching. In early days, there was nobody working. Everybody Harinam every day. That was the program. Every day Harinam and book distribution. I remember I was going to Harinam in Calcutta, and just a little kid, and you know, it was so exciting. I'd come from Mayapur to go to Calcutta for Harinam and book distribution, learning how to do book distribution at that time, training in a Gurukul. So, you know, your children, you can train them about Krishna consciousness. We go on Harinam, it's always the same people going on Harinam, always. Everyone should go. In the 80s, I remember, everybody used to come out. Mothers used to, with their kids in their back, and just hundreds of devotees. It's so ecstatic. Make an effort. This is Yuga Dharma for this Kali Yuga. Harinam is the main issue. It's the main program. Here in Harinam, you know, what are you? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he started the Sankirtan Yuga by chanting Hare Krishna. So, all of you should go Harinam. We have twice a week. They have Harinam, at least come Harinam, you know, as much as possible. And engage yourself. Immerse yourself. You know, Jagannath Balade Subhadra Rath Yatra. Imagine there is no Harinam. Just pulling the car. You know, he started the Harinam. Why they look like that? Because they were so ecstasy. Their head went inside. Jagannath Balade Subhadra like that. They were dancing so much. They were in ecstasy. You have a head because you didn't dance enough. You have to dance enough and then your head will go inside. That's all around. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just mentioned that when they said that, you know, he's danced so much that blood was coming from his body. Oozing blood. I don't see any blood in the temple here. This is a short kirtan finish. We were talking. So almost ecstasy. And earlier in what we used to have on a Sunday, when I was in Sydney in the 80s, we'd have so much kirtan. We'd look for during the week, it was all tight. We'd finish on time and get out there. You know, nobody can be in the ashram daytime. They're there in Maya. Otherwise, there's somebody always checking who's coming home early around the temple. And so Sunday, we could have long kirtans. More than an hour. And so we'd be dancing so much, the lazy side would be not enough sweat on the ground. So we'd swap the area. So much dancing. We were in ecstasy. Love those days. So, Krishna consciousness is not in, Prabhupada used to say, it's not an artificial thing. If you dive into it, you feel the bliss of it. You feel the nectar of Krishna consciousness. If you just keep yourself out, just on the surface, you won't get it. Go on the Harinam, whenever there is. And then we have a chanting here, you know, so stand there, Vivekananda. You don't want to take your hand out. You see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, hands up. What is this? Get your hands, dive into it. No, I don't want to get dirty. Yeah, our Krishna consciousness process, Vishnu Prabhupada was here. He was sitting on the seat and he had a Guru Puja standing in the back. He'll throw you out. Everybody will be off the ground, dancing, high in the air. So much ecstasy. And imagine Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here. And he is here. We're not seeing that. Sometimes I'm going to Harinam, the devotees there could be amazing in Harinam, that they feel just magic. They don't feel tired, hours and hours. Like Krishna is there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is there. Bhakti Sandhya Saraswati Thakur, he heard this big, huge chanting coming in the middle of night in Mayapur. And he hears, and devotee says, "Oh, get up! Can't you hear this big Harinam on Bhakti Sandhya Road in Mayapur?" They say, no, that's the demigods. The demigods, they come down at middle of night and they have a Harinam on Bhakti Sandhya Road in Mayapur. So the ordinary people didn't hear it. So imagine, we're here, we go Harinam, Panchatattva, they come in the Harinam. You don't know. They're participating. They want to share the ecstasy with you. And you sit in your home, I have your, dosas. And you have your chapati with your small family. ISKCON is a big family. We're part of this big, huge family, not just your own family. Feel the part of the big family, Prabhupada's family. I never felt like I need to be at a small house and sit there all day with a few kids and monkey family, We need to expand yourself. Prabhupada's family, Krishna's family is ecstatic. Much more happiness than just your little closet. Yeah. So karmis, gyanis, yogis. We talk about devotees. This is what it means. Devotees is not a cheap thing. You need to work hard. So Prabhupada, our founder guru, worked hard. That's why we have these temples today. He worked hard to achieve these facilities. And we sit around, as so both of Chahayadar. You need to see, we have these facilities today because of this one person, Prabhupada, our founder guru. If you can love Prabhupada, work hard as hard as Prabhupada, then you follow him, the Guru Maharaj. No, I have achieved all those things. Prabhupada used to never say that. There's never room for just lazy. If you think we have everything, where is all the white people? So you have to bring them, make them devotees also. It's not complete yet. Yeah. So Krishna, there's always room for improvement. This is you start Krishna consciousness from the temple, from your own family, then your village, your city, and the whole country and the whole world. So we've done a small portion. That Prabhupada did it. But then you need to expand that in a big way. And when you have sincere desire, Prabhupada used to say, Krishna will help us. You have to have faith. Any questions? And don't tell me you don't have questions. You all have, I know, you just don't want to ask. And when Maharaj comes, everybody have a question. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. Over here in the translation, it says the five elements, the senses, the demigods who control the senses, as well as the mind, the vegetative balance of the soul, all these taken together from five to one.
Yeah.
And then the question would arise that, while we take care of the physical body, we take care of the mind as well. Here we understand the demigods are also a part of the body, so should they not also be taken care of?
Demigods are all part of the body, is it?
It says here.
Yeah.
So while we take care of the physical body, how should we take care of the demigods who are also considered to be a part of the body?
They may be part of the body, but they are not. They're individual. They're not part of the body. They're managerial. They control, like it's mentioned here, the demigods. They control the earth and the human beings. So they're in the body, but that's not that they're part of the body. They are managerial heads of the body. They control each part of our body. But we have our responsibility as to have control over our body, so that the senses and the different senses of the body. But it doesn't mean the demigods. Demigods are not part of the body. They just like in our body, we have a super soul and us, the individual soul. But each have their responsibilities. The super soul is sitting there as a witness to our activities, what we do, and that we get entangled in their karma. And soul, they need to understand and body, like I said before, the body, mind, and soul, and the process of yoga to explain these things. So the senses are there, but one has to rise above to understand higher principles of the senses, the soul, super soul. So the demigods are there, but they're not part of it. Aloof, like Krishna, as super soul is there, but is aloof. Each have their duties to perform. And the demigods, they're just here to manage. Like we see the air and the water and the fire, they're all demigods. Of course, Krishna is the source of all the energy. They have the individual demigods who maintain and manage the universal affairs. So Krishna doesn't interfere with this, but he is above all this. But at the same time, he is aloof, like that. Another question? Karma is a different thing also. Activities. Anybody else? One more question, at least. Then we can get the momentum going. Madhuris, any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Friendship.
It's different level. There's like, just like different level of understanding. Basically, Jnanis, Karmis, they haven't understood everything completely. So they have different level of understanding. Or so, similarly, friendship. So when it comes to friendship, the real friendship is actually among devotees. We understand this principle of friendship among us as friendship, that different level of friendship. Someone, you give your friendship love to your own family. You may be treating them in a way that you don't treat others in that way. Your family, you treat them as your own. They're different treatments. So, or else, at the temple devotees, you treat them another way. So different friendship. So, Karmis, Jnanis, they also have different understanding, but they don't have the complete understanding of everything. It's a different level of realization. So that way, it's not the highest. So there's like steps, different steps. So like I was saying before, samadhi, when they reach the highest level, that's like the devotees. They got full understanding of everything. So if you are, because Prabhupada is finishing up by explaining devotional service is the topmost. So if you're in the level of jnana or karma, yogis, they're not the highest. And that's why I was saying before, yogi nama pisharvisham, the devotees are the highest of all, the yogis. Because they, madgate randaratma, they are thinking of me becoming, meditating on my form, transcendental form. They are the highest. So unless we come to this platform, they are not the highest. So similarly, friendship. Devotees are the real friends. Friends. Because only a devotee can explain these things to your full satisfaction. So someone can explain to you many things, but you're not satisfied. So a friend is different types of friend. You know, someone just give you some advice, financial advice, or someone, a friend can befriend in the front, but not actually a friend. I had a friend who I used to think a good friend, and then I gave him the money and he cheated me. So there are different types of friend, but a real friend, you can treat, a guru can be your friend. And Krishna says, Sruhidam Sarvabhutanam, Sruhidam, this word Sruhidam is a friendship. Krishna says, I am the friend of all living entities, because I am sitting in your heart. So you can trust Krishna, because Krishna, he doesn't cheat us. He is always in our heart. At the time of needs, you can turn to Krishna. That's why you chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is listening to us, wherever you are. But your best friend may not be able to offer you help when you need it, because he can understand us. He's not in our heart. Krishna is. He is the topmost friend of all living entities. So there's a different level of friendship. So the Karmis, Gyanis, they're not the highest, because they may be in the footstep, in the different level. This is the beginning stages. Like the tree. To reach the top of the tree, you have to go by branches to branches. So once you reach the top of the tree, you look down on everyone. So use meditation, that's the samadhi. You reach the platform. But, so like that, Karmis, Gyanis, they're just in the beginning level. But yoginam api, high yogi, bhakti yogi, to get to that platform, it's complete. It's all in it. So that's like the description here. Anybody else? Hare Krishna. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.